to follow through what Jesus was doing leading up to the time of his trial and the amazing efforts that he was going to be going through to make sure that we have a clear pathway to serving God and following after God. Something that you need to be aware of is that through the Old Testament, this was all done through the temple and all done through the tabernacle. That if somebody had sin in their life, they had to bring a sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, something that was necessary is blood needed to be spilled out, that something needed to have the sin placed upon it. And that was the design, that was the purpose of the temple, of the tabernacle. And Jesus, as he was coming into his ministry, was fulfilling all of the pieces of temple sacrifice. Everything that was happening in the temple was being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And as we go through some of these things over these next few weeks, I want you to be acutely aware of the beauty that's happening through this difficult time, even for the disciples, as there is going to be a tremendous amount of confusion for them. Followers begin to drop like children when you ask for chores to be done. They're just going to be falling away, not able to understand some of the things that Jesus is saying. He does an amazing job of communicating through parables and letting people know exactly what is happening. He even spells it out for them a number of times. The disciples get a hands-on application that Jesus is going to die. And yet when it comes time, there's a big struggle. There's difficulty with it. They miss the part that Jesus says, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. They don't hear that part. They hear, I'm going to die. And at one point, one of the disciples even begins to have an argument with God. Says to Jesus, no, you're not. That's not going to happen. Never. But it's amazing as we go through some of these things, what Jesus is doing to let us know exactly how his life is being walked out as something that we can follow and say, I am finding life in Jesus Christ. Last week we had some people give their heart to the Lord for the very first time. Last week we had a show of, have I ever given my life to Jesus? And the hands just went up all over the place. I've given my life to Christ. But we find out that the journey is not just about making that commitment. It's not just about asking Jesus to come into your life. There's something more. Or else, once we give our lives to Christ, we're just occupying space. But we know that it's more than that. Last week we looked at this idea of first things first, of saying here's what needs to happen. And I felt like we were really getting it together as we were understanding that there was a confession that needed to be made. And in our culture, there is some focus on confession. But this morning, what I want to do is I want us to turn to the Gospel of John. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to recap last week. I just want you to know that we looked in Romans chapter 10. While you're turning to the Gospel of Luke, you can be opening up to the chapter 11 in the Gospel of Luke. Sorry, John. I'm all over the place. Gospel of John, chapter 11. But in Romans chapter 10 last week, we said, For with the heart one believes. I'm getting all kinds of feedback here. So it's going to make it, my ADD is kicking in. I'm hearing myself all over the place. So maybe what we can do is just pull it down quite a bit. On the slider, on the trim. There we go. I'll be able to be recorded. It won't. It'll pick me up. You guys can hear me okay, can't you? That was just ringing in my ears. Praise the Lord. I thought technology was supposed to make things easier. Sometimes in Tanzania, we don't even use a microphone. Everybody here is just fine. Is this okay? Is it coming through too on the recording? All right. Thanks for the maintenance. Now I can... Should I start over? I don't know. Anyway, I won't. Everybody's like, no, whatever you do. Romans chapter 10 says, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saves." And this is the amazing part, is that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is the bigger picture that we need to be willing to look at. Is that initially what we have to be able to do is come to Christ. And sometimes in our culture, that's a very difficult leap. I don't need anything. Aren't I good enough? Isn't it possible that all I need to do is live well and pay my taxes and mow my grass and not kick the cat or whatever we might have in the balances and say, everything's okay. Everything's all right. I'm a good person. The problem is that Scripture doesn't allow us to get into a place of relationship with Jesus Christ just simply because we're good. If it was that easy, we wouldn't need the cross. Jesus would not have needed to go through. Do you honestly believe that Jesus needed to go through everything that He did just so that I could say, I am good? It's not possible. We need the cross. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. We need the death, burial, and resurrection of God in order to have a full relationship with Him. So it's not possible. When somebody says, you know, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, I'm generally a good... I've never murdered anybody. That's usually like the first thing that rolls off of someone. I've never murdered anybody. And we would all say, that's very good. You know, it's amazing how it goes all the way to that. You know, they take the big leap. Well, I've never killed anyone. All right. That's one. There's nine others. I wonder if you're aware that there's nine others. And then Jesus even gets rid of that one because He says, if you have murdered someone, if you hate someone in your heart, you have murdered them. You have killed someone if you hate them in your heart. That's not fair. That gets rid of road rage, right? How many people have we killed on Interstate 80, right? There's just mortality, you know, people are just dying all over the place. Amen. How about that? Dying all over the place followed by an amen. That's awesome, Phil. I pray for my fellow drivers. But if we're going to be passionate about this, we need to see that there is more to our walk with the Lord than verbalizing that we need Jesus. That's the first step. That was the most important part. We do need to do that. But then once we do that, there's a lifestyle that comes into play. And there's an event in the Gospel of John, verse 11, that we're going to be looking at together this morning. And I feel that we're going to be looking at it maybe in a way that is not extremely common. And it's the story of Lazarus. And the story of Lazarus takes up a majority of chapter 11. And we're going to read some of it together. We're going to go through it with some detail. But I want you to know this morning that God was actually even using the death of His friend to make a point. That's something that kind of sits uneasy with people. Because there was this tragic thing where Lazarus wasn't just run over by a chariot or something. He got sick. And when he was sick, Jesus was made aware that Lazarus was sick. And when he was made aware, Scripture says it this way in the first part of chapter 11. It says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, it says this phrase, he loved him so much and he stayed where he was for two more days. Loved him and he stayed where he was. And I want you to see that sometimes what happens in our lives is that God is able to work through a tragic situation and make a point of letting us know exactly who He is in our lives. And I wonder this morning if you are able to just take a moment with me and look and see that God cares through our tragedy. God cares through the circumstances that you might be in today. Listen in verse chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death.'" When he heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death." Look at what it says next. "It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This illness does not lead to death. I want you to keep that filed away somewhere in your mind this morning while we continue through this, because Jesus just told them the whole story. And you will see a number of times in Scripture where Jesus will do this. He'll tell the entire story. Sometimes in one sentence. Other times in a parable. He'll let them know exactly what's happening. And in that one sentence, the entirety of the truth of the gospel is revealed to those who have willing ears and are able to hear. But do you see it here that he says, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And here it comes in verse 6. Are you ready? "So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." What? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, how often had Jesus come across someone who he didn't even know? He didn't even have a relationship with them. And he stopped and he would heal them and he would touch them. And here it says that he loved Lazarus, but he went ahead and stayed. Verse 7, "After this he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' And the disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?'" Just real quickly, the previous chapter, Jesus was doing some stuff in Judea. The Pharisees didn't like it. He was doing all kinds of miracles and talking about who he was. And they picked up stones and they were getting ready to stone him, and he escaped. That just happened in chapter 10. And here we are in chapter 11, and he says, "Let's go back." And they say, "Wait a second, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you." Now let's remember the context of what's happening. God is saying, Jesus is saying that all of this is happening for the glory of God. I wonder if you can say that with me this morning. For the glory of God. The situation that I am in, the circumstance that you find yourself in, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, everything, whether it be good or bad, sometimes we focus on the bad things and say, why do the bad things have to happen in my life so that God can be glorified? Well, when was the last time something good happened and you gave all the praise, glory, and honor to Jesus, like we heard this morning in the testimonies? We need to be able to come to a place in our relationship with Him that we find out that every single situation that we are in is for the glory of God. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, be prepared for this one fact: God is going to glorify Himself through your life. I find that incredibly amazing, that God would choose to glorify Himself through my life for the glory of God. And Lazarus is in that situation. Now, something that happens often, though, is in these situations, we get the warning of man: watch out. Rabbi, wait a second, you just said we're going to head back. And we're going to get introduced to one of the peculiar disciples in a moment. But in verse 9, he says this. Well, let's remember, verse 8, the disciples: "Rabbi, the Jews were just about to do this thing." And he said, "Yeah, I know." Jesus answered, and here, this is amazing. This is one of those times when Jesus says something and you're left kind of scratching your head a little bit. "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. That is the answer to why we are going to Judea. What? Why are we going to Judea? Well, you know, if you walk during the night, this happens. If you walk during the day, this happens. And as I read that, actually, that doesn't need too much of an explanation. Because if you see who Jesus is, he is simply, he said it before, I am doing what my Father has directed me to do. He describes that many times in the Gospels as walking in the light, a light unto our path. And so when Jesus gives this little illustration, one thing that he says here is he says, there's 12 hours in the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. If anyone walks in the light of the Lord, he does not stumble. If somebody walks in the darkness, in other words, walks away from the will of God, he is going to stumble. Therefore, let us go to Judea, because I am doing the will of the Father. Don't worry about the people. And here's something very interesting. Is that Thomas says, well, if he's going to go to Judea, let's go with him and die with him. If he's going to die, let's die with him. This is going to be bad. Let's follow Jesus. Let's all go. We're going to follow Jesus to our death, to his death. We're going to watch him die, and then they're going to kill us. That's our buddy Thomas. He's the famous guy that wouldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until he stuck his fingers in his scars, in his hands, in his side. We now call him Doubting Thomas. Do you see where he gets his reputation? In the Gospels, they call him Thomas the Twin. I don't know anybody that calls him Thomas the Twin now. They say, hey, have you read about Thomas the Twin? I'm like, who's that? Oh, you mean Doubting Thomas. There you go. If your name's going to end up in Scripture, do you really want to have that stereotype with you for the rest of all of eternity? So there's Thomas, and he says, here's what's going to happen. He's going to go, he's going to fall into this thing, and we're going to see that really what's taking place is that that Jesus is going to die, and we're going to watch him die, and this is going to be awful. But we find out in a few verses earlier that Lazarus the first thing that Jesus says is that Lazarus has fallen asleep. Then he says that Lazarus has died because they didn't get it. And here's how he tells them. Then Lazarus told them, or Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And look at this. Look at what he says now. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Initially, what Jesus says is, he says, Lazarus has fallen asleep, let's go. And then just like any of us would say, oh, if he's ill and he's fallen asleep, Lord, he needs his rest. Let's not go and wake him up. That's the first response. So then Jesus says, okay, you're not listening. When I say fall asleep, that's code for he's dead. So Lazarus has completely died. But look at what he says. He says, I am glad I was not there. Why? Because the people would have pushed him to do a miracle that was not going to fulfill the purposes of God. They would have been encouraging. They would have said, Jesus, just walk in and heal him. We don't want Lazarus to die. But Jesus was about to show them something that was going to be a play out of what was going to happen in the next few weeks in Jesus' life. And we're going to see something about Lazarus that is a distinct difference from his resurrection to Jesus's. So Jesus comes into this situation now. And if you have your scriptures with you, we're going to read again just for a moment. I want you to be able to see some of this with me as I go through it. Now when Jesus came in verse 17, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So first of all, that's longer than when Jesus will be. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I just want you to know that that is a true statement. Jesus even knows that that's a true statement. If Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. You say, well, that would have been out of the will of God. Well, park it for a minute. If Jesus went, it would have only been because of the will of God. Very good. So Jesus even knew that if he was there, Lazarus would not have died. Then he gets this statement from Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that is a true statement. But guess what? Jesus wasn't there. Why? Because Jesus is only doing, say it all together, the will of the Father, right? The will of God. That's all he's doing. And so when Martha comes and meets him, she's filled with truth. If you had been here, everything would have been fine. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection, on the last day. Jesus said, are you ready? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, can you say that statement with me? Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I want you to see that Jesus is continuing this theme, that it is whoever believes in me. It is not reserved for some kind of religious group. It's not reserved for those who are spiritually in tune. Initially, what needs to happen is a proclamation of who Jesus Christ is. We must believe. And Martha, in her belief, doesn't take the leap to say that, Jesus, I know that you are about to do something amazing, and I've been waiting here for 4 days because I know that you're going to do something incredible. That's not the greeting that Jesus got from her. There was some faith in there. I know that whatever you ask God, he's going to do. Then Jesus says, he's going to rise again. But she doesn't take him at that word in that moment. He's going to rise again. And he said it to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And then as a parallel to last week, Martha does an amazing thing. She confesses Jesus as the Christ. She says in verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha confesses, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. That is so much deeper than saying, I believe that you are a good teacher. That is so much deeper than saying, I sure am glad that I heard that message the other day because it really spoke to me. And you know what? I think I'm going to stop whatever. No, what we're talking about here is a deep-rooted confession that Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Christ. And those, you'll see, that were closest to him just started getting this right when they needed to. Right when they needed to. He had been saying this all along, calling himself the bread of life, describing himself as I am the vine and you are the branches. He had been letting them know all along who he was, but just at the point, in just a few more chapters, we're going to find out that what they needed was their faith needed to increase because what they were going to see physically was not going to line up with things that made logic. If he is the Messiah, why is he hanging on that cross? If he is the Messiah, why? And what we find out is that Jesus is going to begin to deal with some of these things in just a moment when he does an incredible miracle. You are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, after hearing this, he says, okay, where is Lazarus? Where have you laid him? And they take him. And as they're going along, something begins to happen is that people are extremely distraught. I mean, Lazarus was Mary and Martha's, you know, brother. And this is someone who was a friend of Jesus's. And so in order for that to take place, Lazarus had to be some kind of a great influencer in his community. And the communities were quite small and tight-knit back then. And so here he is in this moment, and Jesus is has just said all of these things to them. You remember where they were? He was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You have to remember that the people who are weeping followed her out. They said, oh, she's probably going to go to the tomb. And she meets Jesus, and there's others around. And Jesus says with a clear distinction, I am the resurrection and the life. And so just a few verses later, Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him and fell at his feet in verse 32, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I want you to see that this is now Mary talking. Martha just made a great declaration. Verse 33 says this, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. Not because they were weeping, but because there was a symbol of their disbelief. Jesus wasn't necessarily moved by their emotion. He was moved by, these are people that have heard me. I am coming back to a place where I speak often, where I'm well respected, I'm well received, and these people have heard me say over and over and over again who I am. And yet they come in this circumstance and in this situation completely distraught and completely overtaken with guilt and fear. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And they were starting to take him. And in verse 37 it says, but some of them who were seeing his grief, they were looking at him and they're saying, oh look, he's deeply moved and touched. But some of them said a very encouraging thing. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? You need to see that the place where they are walking, the things that they are experiencing, these are men and women who have seen Jesus do great things. And on his journey, if we can take it back just a little bit here for a second and just see this. On his journey to this location, Jesus had experienced doubting disciples, confused friends, and deaf followers. He was surrounded by people who had heard him speak over and over and over again. And yet when they come face to face with this ultimate task, this ultimate trial, I can understand being, I'm not saying they should have never grieved at all. But as soon as Jesus began to speak, there should have been a change in their hearts. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Because Jesus said, this man has just fallen asleep. Well, if he's sleeping, Lord, we should leave him alone. No, he's dead, but he's going to get up again. Oh, I know he's going to get up again. He's going to get up on the last day. And he's going to rise again. I am just talking to myself today. You ever felt like that? Everything that I say is just not reaching the communication channel. In John chapter 11, that's exactly what Jesus was experiencing with his disciples, with his friends, and with people that had heard him speak over and over again. People say, oh, Jesus was this magnificent communicator. He was. But sometimes you can be an amazing communicator and people will still refuse to listen. And that's what Jesus was faced with in John chapter 11. He's faced with this idea of doubting disciples, confused friends, and deaf followers. And he's on his way. Now listen, he's doing exactly what God is directing him to do. Remember, if you walk during the day, you're going to be fine. If you walk at night, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, things are going to happen. Otherwise, in other words, what we need to do is we need to walk in the light, for he is in the light. We need to avoid the darkness, and then we won't stumble. And he gives that proclamation, and the disciples still go, well, let's go with him to Bethany. We're all going to die. And then he gets there and he's greeted by his friends. Oh, if you had just been here, I know you would have done an amazing miracle. But Jesus, you just missed it this time. You missed it. You missed your chance for people to see who you really are. And then people who had heard him speak over and over again. I saw him one time. I saw Jesus. The guy was blind. He laid hands on him. And now he can see. If he could do that, what are we going to a grave for? Why couldn't he stop Lazarus from dying? The shortest verse in all of Scripture. Jesus wept. And I would tell you this morning that Jesus wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. Jesus was crying because what he had seen and what he had planted in the hearts of people, the thing they were still struggling with, was doubt, unbelief, confusion. And there goes Jesus to the grave of his friend Lazarus, knowing that what he is about to do is one of the most remarkable miracles that is going to take place in his ministry. And he's going, and he's weeping. What have you heard about Jesus? What have you heard about what Jesus can do in your life? What have I heard? What have I allowed to come into my life as doubt, confusion? Have I ever turned a deaf ear to Jesus? Have I ever been in a situation where I was just rooted in unbelief because I was weighing out the circumstance that I was in over top of the promises of Jesus Christ? Has Jesus ever wept over my life? Has Jesus ever looked at what's going on in me and said, what is Philip doing? Why is he doing that? Hasn't he heard? You this morning. We look at Scripture and it's easy to criticize these people, but you have to understand this. We've had a couple of thousand years to mull over their choices. This all happened in a moment's notice for them. Where would I be in that moment's notice? Where would my faith be? As Jesus is on his way to do one of the most remarkable miracles in his ministry, he is definitely not in a place where it's all like, this is, oh, they are really going to get it. Now, I would wonder even if he's thinking, when is this going to sink in? When are they going to see it? Where are you in that understanding this morning? Where am I? I often wonder. In John chapter 11, verses 40 and 41, he's saying to Mary this time, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Just moments ago, he walked up to the tomb and he said, okay, roll the stone away. And even in that moment, they're like, Jesus, he's been dead for 40, he's going to stink. Does anything in your life stink? Is anything in your life just like, that's just, or yet better yet, is there shame involved in some things that have gone on? Jesus, not that one. Let's not stir that up. That is, can we just call it good, Lord? Can we just move on? Don't roll the stone away. He stinks. But did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. I can only put myself there. I can't, if you just give me a moment, I would imagine that he's still choked up by all of this. He's just, I'm in this place, I'm in this moment. I've even gone so far as to tell him to roll the stone away. What do they think is going to happen? I'm just going to take the stink away? Or is something incredible? I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Doubt, be gone. Confusion, be gone. Deafness, be lifted. Come out. Lazarus, come out! People say that Jesus demonstrated anger at the temple when he turned over the money tables. I don't want to humanize this too much. But moment upon moment upon moment was building. And Jesus comes to the place where he says, all of this doubt, all of this unbelief, God, may it be seen today, Lazarus, come forth. And from that tomb, Lazarus walks out of that grave. The man, verse 44, who had died came out. And listen to this. Jesus went to the cross and he died and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. But look at the detail that is left in Lazarus' life. I believe there was a point that was made. The man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were still bound with linen strips. This is something that you need to see, that this is something that God was saying at the final resurrection. There will be freedom. There will be release. But for now, I want you to know, yes, the dead can be raised again. They can come out. They will rise in this moment. But when death is finally defeated, you will be free. Lazarus walked out of that grave, hands and feet still bound. No more on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or have you been raised from the dead, so to speak, in your spiritual life, and you still walk around with your hands and your feet bound? Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus did, was painting a picture for us so that we would know what it means to believe in His resurrection. This morning, I believe that God wants a truth to sink into your hearts. Doubt, unbelief, confusion, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. That Jesus would be able to do such a miracle in your life that you would be able to walk with boldness and say, I have been set free. I have been set free. No more doubt. No more confusion. No more deaf ears. For him who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let's stand together this morning. Father, today, right now, I know that there are many who are being challenged in their walk with You. And Father, I pray that it would not be a challenge of condemnation. Father, I pray right now, whether they're here in this room or they're listening right now online, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be a release in the Spirit, that they would know that there is no more confusion, that there is no more death in their life, that Father, we have been set free by Jesus Christ. And Lord, as Jesus was attempting to make this so plain to His followers thousands of years ago, we stand here today as beneficiaries of the events that were yet to come. And Father, I pray that wherever we are in our walk with You, that we would see that we need to move into freedom in Jesus Christ. We need to go from just a confession. We saw that people confessed in this historical event with Lazarus as this story was unfolding. We saw people willing to confess, but there was still a measure of unbelief. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that there would be followers in Jesus Christ that would refuse to let doubt come into their life, that would refuse to allow disbelief to be there, that Father, they would have ears to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. All across this room, if you have a desire to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, right now where you are, just begin to lift your hands and say, God, I want to know the truth. I want to hear the truth. Everyone across this place that says, God, I want to open up the channels of receiving truth from You. If that's you this morning, God wants to help peel away the layers of unbelief. All across this room, hands are going up. God, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ would begin to peel away and shed the things of unbelief, the confusion in deaf ears in Jesus' name. That You would be able to speak over our lives and say, Lazarus, come forth in Jesus' name. And we thank You for that, for resurrecting us in our spiritual walk with You today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I would ask you to really allow this to sink deep into your hearts. This is a word that is for believers. This obviously was not for unbelievers. There may have been a few that witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, but he went to a place where he was speaking and he was well known and people had seen the things that he was doing. That's us today. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, this message is, can you go further in your relationship with Him? To go beyond those things. So Father, I just pray right now You would seal this word into our hearts. Encourage us today as we go. We thank You for Your hand upon our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.